You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
Packers Talk.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Ready or not, here come the Green Bay Packers. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another edition of Lemps Talk and Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lempsis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room, my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here with my big, splashy, oversized, outlandish, overstuffed 2020 Packers training camp preview. That's right, folks. Football, for at least the time being, is back. The Packers are back in our lives. How long will they remain in our lives? How long will they stay there? I have no idea. Will we get through training camp? Are we going to make it to week one? How far will we make it into the regular season? I have no idea. But for right now, and it feels really good to say this, the pack is back. Okay, so before I really jump into the show, I do want to apologize to all the listeners. The training camp preview is a little late. If you listened to the last episode of the show, which I recorded 5 weeks ago today, it's Sunday, August 16th right now, I said, oh yeah, the training camp preview, you know, I'm going to do it. It'll be 2 or 3 weeks from now. Now, I didn't, obviously that didn't happen, but I do think my reasoning for it was solid. Initially, I wasn't even sure if there was going to be, it didn't even look like there might be a training camp. As the league and the NFLPA was going back and forth on the safety protocol stuff, it was getting kind of contentious. You know, it didn't look great at first. Then they agreed to have camp, but it was like, well, we're going to do a lot of testing at the beginning, which was good. And then we're going to kind of move into meetings and slowly ramp up to getting onto the practice field. And I thought, well, I don't really know if I want to do a training camp preview while they're still in meetings. It seemed kind of silly. I was like, well, I'm going to wait till they actually have been on the practice field at least once before I do this. And seeing as though they had their first official practice of the season yesterday, I guess I can't wait any longer. I couldn't stall any longer. It's time. Let's go. Let's did this. And you know what? I'm really excited. I think we're going to have a lot of fun here today. This is going to be a good show. Before we get into the show, before we jump into the fun, I have to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you all love, or at the very least tolerate. Twitter, Lemps, MKE, at It's Just Chris Now. Just, I know some people don't love all the Milwaukee Bucks tweets, but it's the playoffs. It's a crucial playoffs for the organization. There's going to be a lot of Packers tweets. There's going to be a lot of Bucks tweets, too. So just know that going in, okay? Sorry, I'm not sorry. Facebook, old bag of donuts, OL bag of donuts. The email, no one sent me an email in weeks. Very disappointed by that. Old bag of donuts, OL bag of donuts at gmail.com. Send me your thoughts, man. What do you think about these training camp battles? How's the team looking to you? Let me know. I want to hear it. I want to hear from you guys and gals. Come on. And for anybody listening on the wonderful iTunes page, the Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating. 5 stars. I like you those the most. 4 stars are good. Anything else, forget it. Maybe a comment. Chris, I'm so excited for the season. I'm nervous, whatever. But I'm glad that you're back. I'd appreciate that. That'd be nice. If it's negative, keep that shit to yourself. Okay. So now that I've explained myself, explained my absence, and I've shamelessly promoted myself, let's go. Let's do this. It is time to talk Packers and really get into what I am most looking forward to seeing over these next few weeks. Can you believe it? The season starts exactly 4 weeks from today at US Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. You know, it's going to be funny. How do I say it's nice? There's no nice way to say it. The Vikings pump in crowd noise. Everybody knows that, right? They did that at the old Metrodome. They're still doing it at US Bank Stadium. Are they going to be allowed to pump in fan noise, even if there are no fans? If they are, it'll be a natural move. It'll be a really natural progression for the Minnesota Vikings to do that. And if there's no fans there after the first few weeks, that'll be kind of a natural progression for the Vikings, too, as a lot of their fans tend to bail. the team isn't looking like they're going to be very good early in the season. At least that's what I took away living in Minneapolis. All right, anyways, now that I've bashed the Vikings, God, I feel like I should do that every episode. I should just do like a Fuck the Vikings segment every episode. That'd be fun. Now that I've derailed. You know what? Wait, before I get into this, we got to talk some contract stuff. There was a big contract extension signed yesterday. Kenny Clark, my guy, defensive tackle, nose tackle. 4 years, $70 million, $25 million signing bonus. We still don't, as far as I know, have the full guaranteed money total. But you know what? If you listen to the last episode of the show, your old pal Lemps predicted a 4-year, $72 million extension for Kenny Clark. I was $2 million off. I basically nailed the damn thing. I did the damn thing. I said, I think $45 million in total guarantees. I'm curious to see how close I get to that when that number is kind of officially released or leaked to the media. But I nailed it. See, I'm smart. A lot of these Packer podcast people, bloggers, they like to tell you how smart they are all the time. I don't. Sometimes I will, though. And on this one, I nailed it. I nailed it. It was $2 million. What's $2 million between friends, right? Well-deserved. Again, the last episode, I had Kenny Clark as the number one player the Packers needed to re-sign. Glad the team agreed and took care of that. 24 years old. He's underrated. I think he's only getting better, and he's going to pretty quickly become one of the top, not even five, because I think he's already there. I'm going to say he's going to become one of the top two or three defensive tackles in all football. I love the kid, you know? And how great was his story talking about his hands were shaking when he was signing the extension. His mom was on the phone. His mom was crying. That was great, wasn't it? Really, even for someone who has a cold, dead heart like me, I have to admit it was pretty heartwarming. I love the kid. I'm so excited to see what he's going to do in Green Bay over these next 5 years. It's going to be awesome. What do you do? This is kind of just me going off on a tangent, but like, what do you do? A $25 million signing bonus. That's got to be like a trip, right? You sign a piece of paper and it's like, okay, now you got $25 million bucks. Like, what do you do? Like, hey, man, thanks. Like, I feel like before I signed it, if someone were to give me a $25 million signing bonus to do this podcast, which you could get me for way cheaper than that. I'm pretty cheap as far as that goes. I feel like before I signed it, I'd be like, are you guys sure about this? For me, it's a lot of money, you know? But like, what do you do? You go, like, anybody want to get lunch? Like, I know he had to go to practice and stuff after he signed it, but, like, that's got to be so weird, right? You come home, his girlfriend or his wife or whatever is like, hey, Kenny, how was work today? Well, pretty good. You know, I got a nice signing bonus. $25 million. Just, that stuff is always, that's one of the aspects of the NFL that's just so crazy to me, to think that that happens. Totally deserved. It's just, for Kenny, it's just crazy to think about, you know? So who's next? We'll do a quick thing on that. Ian Rappaport was on NFL Network earlier this morning talking about who could be next for the Packers. And I thought this was interesting. He mentioned Aaron Jones and David Bakhtiari in the same breath, saying that the Packers are kind of, it seems like they're working on getting both of those guys done, which I thought was interesting because, I mean, we all know Bakhtiari is super important. I had him as number two on my list behind Clark. But mentioning Jones in the same breath was interesting because I think a lot of us feel like Jones, it seems like a foregone conclusion that he's not going to be back, especially after they drafted A.J. Dillon in the second round this year. And the fact that Jones may just price himself out. I talked about that in the last episode. I had him as number four on my list, not because I don't love the kid, because I do, but just it felt like it was going to be so tricky getting him signed as far as what they'd be willing to offer versus what he'd take. But you never know. Hearing Ian Rappaport say that made me think, like, man, maybe he will be back. And then he tossed in Kevin King at the end of his little thing on NFL Network today, too. So it'll be interesting to see who's next. I still think it'll be Bakhtiari. And then I think they'll keep the franchise tag open for either Kevin King or Aaron Jones. It's hard to see all four of those guys being, or all three of them being back. Bakhtiari, Jones, and King. But if they can get one of them done, they could keep the franchise tag open for one of the other two. And then even if they can't get them to an extension or a new deal, they could always tag and trade, so be interesting. Keep an eye. It's going to be something to keep an eye on, of course. As far as what I think will happen, yeah, I think it'll probably be Bakhtiari signs next. And again, they'll keep the tag open for one of those two. Okay, so enough contract stuff. Did that last time. The Packers took to Ray Nitschke Field yesterday, Saturday, for, again, their first official practice of the new season. Obviously, things are going to look a lot different this year at camp. No fans, no Railbirds, no bikes. That's really sad. That's a great part of camp. I love that. Again, even a cynical bastard like me loves the bikes thing. It's such a cool thing with the kids, you know? Not going to have any of that this year. Not going to call it Dream Drive because I'm not getting any money from that company. But I'll tell you one thing. One day into camp, one thing, my friends, is still the same. And that is beat writer overreactions. Love it. Love it. It's my favorite thing after the first practice or two is seeing what media members completely go out on a limb on stuff. And it didn't even, it just took one practice. We already have one. This is from Matt Schneidman, I hope I'm saying his name right, from The Athletic, a site that I am too cheap to pay for. Main takeaways from day one of Packers practice. Lane Taylor gets first crack at right guard with Billy Turner at right tackle. Okay, so that's not technically an overreaction. I'll talk about that in a little bit. So far, Matt's doing okay. Tim Boyle isn't losing QB2 anytime soon. And he goes off the cliff. How do you know that? How do you know Tim Boyle isn't losing the backup job anytime soon? Yeah, I know Jordan Love probably looked like he was maybe a little in over his head yesterday, but it was the first practice. How can you say that after one practice? Come on, man. Reggie Begelton, an intriguing slot wide receiver. Again, I'm going to talk more about Begelton in a little bit. Is it Begelton, Begelton? I should know how to say his name. I don't. Pronunciation's not really my thing. With a last name like Lempsis, you'd think it would be, but it's one practice, Matt. How can you even say that? How do you know he's an intriguing option? Rashawn Gary looks more lean. Okay, that one, I guess I can't argue with you there. Too much there. EQ running well after missing 2019. All right, I guess I can't. All right. And then the last one, someone call Tremon. Oh, come on, man. Someone call Tremon. Really? After one practice, you think they should bail on their plans for the number three cornerback spot? I mean, that's pretty impressive. In six bullet points, he has two complete overreactions and one, I would say, fairly sized overreaction. It's great. I love it. Come on, bring it on. Bring it on, beat writers. Give me more of your crazy outlandish predictions for this team 2 days into practice. I love it. I live for it. It's great. Matt's listening to this. He's probably like, up yours. Whatever. Just having a little fun, you know? No, you can't get that much out of one practice. That being the case, I do want to talk about what I'm going to be focusing on as camp progresses. So the first category I have is players I most want to track. These are guys who I'm going to really be looking at the, you know, whatever footage we get. It's going to be a little different this year as far as that goes. But the footage we're getting and the reports we're getting, I'm very curious to see. Obviously, we start with Jordan Love. The biggest story of the offseason involving this team. He's the biggest story regarding the future of this team. Everything Love does is going to be heavily scrutinized, which isn't really fair. Because if you think about Rodgers, he was not good his first couple training camps. He really wasn't. Rodgers basically sucked in 05 camp, 05 preseason, 06 camp. It wasn't until the 07 camp and the 07 preseason, so his third year, when he really started looking like he wasn't going to be a bust. Those first two seasons, people forget this now, those first couple camps, it did not look great at all for Aaron Rodgers. So I don't want the fans, we shouldn't put too much pressure on Jordan Love. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying I'm going to be definitely looking, any footage of Love in action that we get, I'm going to be definitely studying, you know, the beat report stuff. I'm definitely curious, you know. A.J. Dillon, there's another one. Second round pick out of Boston College. I'm not going to talk about A.J. Dillon's legs. That was I was not on Twitter during practice yesterday as it was happening, and I was going through my feed after practices. Every other tweet was about AJ Dillon's legs. I was like, is this going to become like a thing now? Yeah, he's got big legs. He was a power back. What did you expect? What did you think he was going to have? Twig legs? Of course he's got big legs. It's like his legs are going to become the positive version of Eddie Lacy's waistline. Where it's like, oh, look at Ed's waist. Oh, Big Ed looks big again. Oh, Big Ed looks slim. Oh, Dillon's legs are huge. I don't. What did Packer Ranter say to me? No kink shaming, please. I'm not. Hey, if that's your thing, that hey, have at it. I'm just saying it's not going to be something I'm focusing on. That will not be a thing your old pal Lemps focuses on. That I can assure you. But I'm curious to see how he looks, you know? He's obviously a big part of their future at the position. He may even, if they can't get something done with Aaron Jones, he may be the starter next season. But obviously, whatever, if he's a starter or backup, big things are going to be expected eventually out of A.J. Dillon. So is it going to be, that's a guy I'm tracking. And then Jay Sternberger. If you follow on Twitter, you know how much I love Jace. I love Jay Sternberger. I think I've talked about him on the pods, too. I love the kid. I think I loved him before. I loved him leading into the draft last year. I was so excited the Packers took him. He fell behind last year because of some injury stuff, but I think he's going to be really good. Really, really good. He's still on the COVID-19 list, I believe, as of yesterday he was. Although, hopefully they can get him back soon. Hopefully he's feeling good and ready to go. But he's a lot expected out of him this year. You know, I think a big reason why they didn't upgrade as much as we had hoped at wide receiver, I think, is because they believe a lot in Sternberger. You know, and I think adding Dillon, I think, was another reason why they didn't. I think they didn't upgrade at wide receiver like we had hoped, but they upgraded in other areas. Sternberger, you know, he's already on the roster, but if you're thinking he's going to be a huge upgrade over Jimmy Graham, which I do, although I think a corpse might have been a big upgrade over Jimmy Graham at this point. you know, they're looking at that being an area where they're going to upgrade as far as pass catchers, and then Dillon being a back will help them upgrade, not as far as pass catching necessarily, but as far as an offensive weapon. So I'm not excusing it because I'm still disappointed. I'm as disappointed as any of you are that they didn't upgrade there. I'm just explaining why maybe they didn't. And Jace is a big part of that, you know. It's going to be really interesting to see what he can do and what is basically year one for him. On defense, you probably can guess who I'm going to go with. First, I'll start up front, Kingsley Keke, fifth-round pick last year out of Texas A&M. I talked about this when I did my State of the Pack series earlier in the offseason, that you had to look really closely, but Keke flashed. And I do think he is going to be a player to watch. I'm not sure, you know, I think a lot of people may be pinning too much on him. But he's a guy I'm interested to see what he looks like. And again, basically, what'll be year one for him. Rashawn Gary did not light the world on fire, to say the least. As a rookie, the number 12 pick in the 2019 draft out of the University of Michigan. Had a lot of fans shaking their heads as the season went on. Hopefully, he will get more of a look now that... I totally blanked on his name. Kyler Fackrell has now moved on to the New York Giants. So a lot's going to be expected of Gary now. He's going to be the number 3 inside linebacker or outside linebacker behind the Smiths. He's got to step up. He's got to show something. He's got to show something in year two. Hopefully the coaching staff will move him around a little bit more too. I'm curious to see where they've got him lined up in camp. I still think it's a huge mistake to just have Gary lined up at outside linebacker. The guy played along the line at Michigan. Move him around. Get him to create... Move him around to create some mismatches with his athleticism. I'm curious to see where he lines up throughout camp. That's going to be something I'm definitely watching a lot. And then Darnell Savage. You know? Thought Savage got better as the season went on. Pro Football Focus had some numbers... was it Friday? A few days ago. Talking about his numbers and coverage. And they did get better as the year went on. As he got further and further away from that ankle injury. So I'm curious to see if he is looking in camp like he's taking that step in year two. A lot is riding on Darnell Savage. I really believe in him, and I'm curious to see if he starts to give us some glimpses that he's cashing in on that promise. So those, I'd say, are kind of the six guys I'm really going to be tracking a lot as camp goes on. I've got, let's move on and talk about some positional battles. Ooh, this is always fun. We all love camp battles, right? The big one, as mentioned in the media overreaction section, maybe that'll be a thing. I should do that as like a segment if I do more of these camp episodes. Let's talk about the right tackle, right guard spot, right? Yesterday, they began with Billy Turner at right tackle and Lane Taylor at right guard before quickly swapping and having Rick Wagner, the free agent signing formerly of the Detroit Lions, Stalas native, Stalica. Rick Wagner, every time he pancakes a guy, I'm going to tweet Stalica or Stalas. He moved into the right guard, right tackle spot, excuse me, and Billy Turner slid inside to right guard. So that'll be interesting to watch. I still think Wagner, at least initially, will be the right tackle, the starter, and Turner will be the right guard. But it was interesting. I think they kind of gave us a glimpse yesterday of what the backup plan is if Wagner doesn't work or if he has more injury issues like he had last year. I think that you know, they were kind of basically telling us, like, yeah, Turner will kick outside and Lane Taylor will slide in. And, you know, it's pretty nice. You know, I think we all thought Lane Taylor was going to get cut at several points in the offseason. But now that they didn't cut him, it's nice having that depth, I will say. And then could John Runyon be in the mix, too, the rookie six-rounder from Michigan? I still think he's going to be the right guard of the future, eventually. Maybe, I don't know if that'll happen this year, probably next year. But I'm curious to see if he makes a push in camp as well. The wide receiver depth, that's not really a positional battle, per se. But the depth at wide receiver is obviously still something we're all focusing on. So we know Davante Adams is making it. And we know Alan Lazard is making it. By the way, I was hashtag Team Lazard all last training camp. Some people were Team Shepard. He's back. I don't think he has much of a shot, Darius Shepard. But I was always Team Lazard. It's just nice for all of us hashtag Team Lazarders. This is just... his continued growth is just so exciting because we were right. We were right. So we know those two are making it. As for the rest, it really is wide open. You know, you've got MVS. I'm former president and CEO of MVS Industries. Our company is still in bankruptcy. We're in bankruptcy proceedings still. I can't talk too much about that. Equanimeous St. Brown is back. ESB, as we call him here on the show. Jake Kumaro. Whitewater Jesus. So those three are the incumbents. They're back. And while the Packers didn't make any splashes at the position, as we know, there is some new blood. Former Canadian Football League standout Reggie Begelton, as I mentioned a little while ago. Travis Fulgham, recently claimed off waivers from the Detroit Lions. And former Seattle Seahawk Malik Turner are all looking to break onto the roster. Also fighting for a roster spot is wide receiver Malik Taylor, who spent last season on the practice squad. So yes, if you're keeping score at home, there's a Malik Turner and a Malik Taylor. That's... I gotta be honest, that could get confusing. I don't know if both of these guys... one of these guys might have to get cut soon, because it's going to get really confusing for me to keep track here. More on that in a little bit, by the way. So... how do I think this is going to work? At this point, I don't like to make too many predictions early in camp, but it just seems like, you know, I do think MVS, ESB, and Kumaro are all going to make the team. Yeah. And I think there's a chance the Packers might just keep five receivers and, you know, and all the new guys I mentioned won't make it. There's a chance maybe they keep six and one of those guys breaks on, maybe Begelton or Fulgham or Turner, or maybe like Shepard, who was on the team briefly last year before his catastrophic Thursday night game against the Eagles. Which, the less we talk about that, the better. But maybe one of those guys makes it. I don't know. But I still think there's a good chance they just keep five. I don't know. It just feels like those guys, the new guys, are going to have to make up too much ground too quickly. You know, game one is in 4 weeks. So they basically have 3 weeks to make some sort of impression. I don't know. It's just... that doesn't seem like enough time. No OTAs, no minicamp. There was no chances for these guys to flash. It's like, You got to come in and hit the ground running and get to 100 miles an hour in 2 seconds. That feels like it's going to be too tough, but that'll be interesting to watch as camp goes on to see if any of these new guys can make their mark. Running back depth, again, not a position per se, but it's a spot I'm going to be looking at a lot, positional battle. We know Aaron Jones is going to make the team. We know A.J. Dillon's going to make the team. Will A.J. Dillon's legs make the team? I would think so. Sorry, couldn't help myself. But who else? So there's Jamal Williams. Now, I know you're probably thinking, Chris, Jamal Williams has got to make the team. Come on, man. Yeah, you know, I think so, but I talked about this in the last episode. If a team gets hit really hard at running back, if another team gets hit really hard at running back in camp, or even not even as far as losing multiple players, but just losing a key reserve or a guy who's in a timeshare, I could see the Packers maybe trying to offer Jamal Williams up in a trade. Yeah. It just feels like with Jones and Dillon and Williams, like, there's only so many carries to go around in an Aaron Rodgers-led offense. Only so many touches. You know? And if Jones, especially if Jones gets a big contract extension, you would think he's going to get a lot of the touches. Even if he doesn't, he's going to get a lot of touches. What am I saying? I don't know. It feels weird to draft A.J. Dillon in the second round and then basically have him be the number three running back. Right? And conversely, it feels really weird to have Jamal Williams, who's had a solid career up to this point, get bumped down a peg to be the number three back. It feels like there's just not enough room at the end, you know? So some people have suggested he could get cut. I guess I could see that. My guess is still that he could be offered a trade. In fact, I'll go on a limb and say I think he will be traded at some point before the start of the regular season, yeah. Or early into the regular season. I don't know what the Packers would get. Maybe a fifth rounder, probably more like a six. But, you know, he's only got 1 year left on his deal anyways. So there's Jamal Williams. There's obviously Dexter Williams, who was, I believe, a fifth or sixth round pick last year out of Notre Dame. I watched Notre Dame. My wife's kind of a Notre Dame fan. I watched a lot of Dexter Williams in college. I'm still sort of bullish on him. I like what he brings to the table. LaFleur seemed to really dislike him during camp last year. Feels like he called him out a few times. And then Williams didn't do much in the regular season. I think he played in the Week 17 game against Detroit. Got some touches. But I still think he's got a talent. I think he's got ability. I think he's a guy worth keeping around. I mentioned earlier with the Taylor Turner thing. Have you looked at this roster? The Packers have two running backs with the last name Williams. They also have linebacker Tim Williams. I had this in alphabetical order. Hang on. They have two running backs with the last name Williams. They have a linebacker named Tim Williams. They have, are you ready for this? Three players with the name Turner, with last name Taylor. Lane Taylor, Malik Taylor, and Patrick Taylor, who I'm going to talk about in a minute, the running back. They also have two players with the last name Turner. Billy Turner. Mentioned him, the offensive lineman. We all know Billy Turner. And then Malik Turner, the wide receiver. That is eight players with the last name Taylor, Turner, or Williams. So if you're listening at home and your last name is Taylor, Turner, or Williams, and you're not on this training camp roster, what are you doing with your life? You need to reevaluate. That's ridiculous. Eight players with three last names. Anyway, sorry. I had to mention that because I just noticed it before I started recording and it blew my freaking mind. So also in the running back group is Tyler Swervin Irvin. Kick returner extraordinaire. We all love him. Someone said he was working with the wide receivers a lot yesterday. So it remains to be seen if he'll even be listed as a running back much longer. He may end up being like the sixth wide receiver slash returner. Who knows? That's something I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on. And then there's undrafted free agent Patrick Taylor from Memphis, who I like. He had a big junior year at Memphis. And then he was hurt, I think, a lot last year. I think he missed half of his senior year. A good chunk of his senior year. But he's an intriguing guy. I'm definitely keeping an eye on him. So you see what I'm saying? That's where I go back to, circling back to Jamal Williams. They've got Dexter Williams, who still, I think, has promise. You've got Patrick Taylor. You've got two guys who could easily slide into that number three running back role. Would open up some cap space, which is kind of valuable because we don't know what the salary cap is going to look like next season. if there's no fans in the stands or very limited fans in the stands, the Packers, I mean, they may need all the cash they can get to re-sign these key players. So Jamal Williams' salary is about $2.5 million. That could be pretty valuable to open that up that cash. So some definite names to keep an eye on. I'm definitely keeping an eye on Dexter Williams and Patrick Taylor, that's for sure. Move over to the defense. Got to talk about the defense a little bit. Jesus. Inside linebacker. That's a key battle. Who's going to be opposite Christian Kirksey? Will it be Kamal, my guy, Martin? Sky Uma, University of Minnesota, fifth-round pick this year? Possibly. I like Martin. I think he's got a chance. Oren Burks. Going to talk more about Burks in a minute. It's getting time for Oren Burks to do something. He's got to do something in Green Bay. He's running out of time, let's be honest. Ty Summers, seventh-round pick of the 2019 draft. Did some things on special teams last year. I'm curious to see what he'll do if he gets a look at inside linebacker. And then Curtis Bolton, who I loved in camp last year until he tore his ACL. So there's four guys, and I'm curious to see which one of them. I mean, one of them's got to make a move, you would think. As far as who it would be, I mean, I'm rooting for Martin. Because I want Martin to be good so I can be the most obnoxious homer possible about it. But I don't know. I don't really have any sort of leader in the clubhouse right now. Maybe Bolton, if he can come back from the injury. Number three, cornerback. There's another one. That's a big one. Now, right now, it sure looks like it's going to be Chandon Sullivan's job. Love what Chandon Sullivan did last year in somewhat limited duty. I think he will take that job, and I think he's going to be really good. But it is anything but a lock at this point to me. And if he falters, could Josh Jackson, former second-round pick out of the University of Iowa, who's done very little up to this point, again, more on Jackson in a minute, could he or Kadar Holman seize the opportunity? Possibly. Holman is really an athletic player. If you look up his numbers, I don't know if he went to the NFL Combine. I think he did one of those regional combines coming out of Toledo. He had some ridiculous numbers at that combine. He's a real athlete. It'll be interesting to see if he works his way into the mix after basically redshirting his rookie year. So, again, I think that'll be Sullivan, but I don't think it's 100%. It's not necessarily a lock. We'll move on now. Let's talk about some players on the bubble. It's kind of the last category of the preview. This is players on the bubble / players who need to start showing something. This does not necessarily mean they'll be cut. That's why I put that players who need to start showing something. Doesn't necessarily mean they're a cut candidate, but it just means they're running out of time. Offense, mentioned him already, Dexter Williams. I actually mentioned most of these guys already, but Dexter Williams is in that category. Again, really liked what he did at Notre Dame. I think the kid's got some definite talent, but LaFleur, he seemed to be in LaFleur's doghouse a lot last summer. I'm curious to see if he can make some positive strides. Because with the glut at running back right now, I mean, he's on the outside looking in. Unless they move Jamal Williams, in which case, and maybe he's got a shot. But even then, he could be in a battle with Taylor. Who knows? But he's running out of time in Green Bay pretty quick. And then the aforementioned MVS. Physically, the kid has it all. Height, weight, speed. As far as that goes, other than Jeff Janis, he's the most height, weight, speed guy Rodgers has had in his entire time in Green Bay. Now, mentioning Jeff Janis isn't great. We all remember the Jeff Janis experience. But MVS just, I think we all thought he was going to have a huge year last year and it just didn't happen. He was injured. It felt like Rodgers trusted him less and less as the season went on. He was kind of an afterthought by the end of the year. I don't know if I do think Dexter Williams is a cut candidate. I don't know if MBS is going to get cut. It would take one of the new guys, I think, to really kind of come on strong. I mean, they'd have to really explode on the scene. Maybe even multiple guys from that group of newcomers to force MBS out. But it's time. It's year three, The guy was a late-round pick, sixth-round pick. He's not going to get too many more opportunities as much as we like his athletic promise. He's got to do something. It's time. Don't buy MBS stock. That's not... Just hold off. All right, let's move over to the defense. The big one, Montrevious Adams. Right? Former day two pick out of the University of Auburn. has done almost nothing in his time as a pro. And I do think he's running out of time, you know? LaFleur basically said as much last week, you know? He said, we're expecting big things out of him. I don't remember the exact quote, but you could just tell that, like, the pressure's on. Like, it's kind of shit or get off a pot time for Montrevious. I don't know how many chances. He, I think, is a guy who could get cut, definitely. Definitely. I don't think his spot is assured, even though he was a former day two pick, what, a couple years ago? He's running out of chances. He's got to get it going. Talked about Oren Burks, another day two pick a couple years back from Brian Gutekunst. It's time for Oren Burks. He's had some injury stuff and then just kind of couldn't crack the field. He's got to show he's worth something. Because, you know, with Kamal Martin and Summers and Bolton, there's a lot of names in the mix there. Burks has got to do something. He's running out of time. And Josh Jackson's another one. Josh Jackson had such a great career at the University of Iowa. Total ball hawk. But everything people worried about him coming into his career has kind of come to fruition on the field. He's just not fast. I just still don't know if he has enough raw foot speed to run with NFL receivers. I don't know how do you fix that. I don't know if you do. But he's got to start doing something. And camp, for all three of those guys, this camp is kind of, this is kind of their last stand or the beginning of their last stand. They've got to show something in these practices. Because the Packers are starting to move on, you know what I mean? You got a guy like Kiki who looks like he's maybe already passing Adams. You've got Martin and Bolton and Summers, and they kind of all look like they're at least even with Burks or maybe even a little ahead of him. Jackson's battling with Chandon Sullivan and Kadar Holm. These guys all should have been further ahead than they are at this point. And I'm not sure how many. I mean, I think Adams might get cut. Burks is a possibility. Jackson, I don't think he'll get cut just because they don't have a lot of depth. Because it sure seems like they're not going to bring Tremont Williams back. Which, I don't know how much I agree with that. But I guess if they want to move on and plan for the future, then I guess they had to not bring him back, which, whatever. But these guys have all got to do something. It's time. This is it. All right. So, just about 37 minutes in. Seems like a good place to start wrapping her up. That just about wraps up this edition of the show. I may pop in once more during training camp. I'm still not sure on that yet. Kind of want to see how these practices go, see how interesting, kind of the way things develop. If not, I can assure you I will be back before Labor Day with my big, splashy 2020 Packers regular season preview. I'll kind of recap how training camp went. If I don't do an episode before then, I'll recap camp, kind of look back on some of the things I've talked about here today. I'm going to go through areas of the team that have me excited this season, areas that have me freaking terrified. And oh yeah, baby, I will definitely be going through the schedule game whenever that preview happens, whenever that episode happens. I'm going through the schedule game by game to give you my prediction for what Green Bay's record will be this season. Last year, I said 10-6. Thought I was maybe being a little generous. Whoops. Sold them short. So yeah, keep an eye out for that. And again, if I do another one of these in between there, I will, of course, let you know about that as well. So until next time. Whenever that may be. I am Chris Lampesis. This has been Lemp's Talking Pack. Thank you so very much for listening, Packers fans. I love you, I love you, I love you. And remember, always and forever, go Pack, go.